Well, good morning to you and welcome to CCC. I'm happy to see everybody this chilly January morning. I hope that we've all enjoyed our series on James. I'm always amazed at how much a deep dive into the living word can bring out so many lessons that we can apply to our lives here in 2022. Today we're going to wrap up our time in the book of James. I don't have a PowerPoint today, so if you've got a Bible handy, it may not be terrible, but I won't go so fast that you can't follow. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what works when life doesn't? When life falls apart, when we suffer, when we're sick. Let's see, I found my final place. How do we respond? James is certainly interested in that, and he writes regarding the prayer of faith. The title of the message today is Healing Prayer. We're going to start on verse 13 in chapter 5 of James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And with that, I say, let it rain, let it pour. Father God, thank you so much this morning for the many ways that you bring your message to us, through the wonderful praise and worship song that we've shared in this morning. Communion thoughts, prayers of unity, and just the fellowship that we have with one another. Father, I ask that in this time of the message that your Holy Spirit might stir in us, that the message that we all hear be yours and not mine, and that we might leave here just a little bit more encouraged than when we walk through the door. In your Son's mighty name we pray, amen. You might suspect that James would be interested in prayer. I read that he was known by the nickname of Camel Knees. Old Camel Knees. He got that reputation because he was so often on his knees praying. He prayed again and again, not only for himself, but for the people of God. James talks in his letter about prayer often. In the very first chapter in James, when he tells us about those trials that come our way, to count it all joy when the trials come. One of the reasons we know joy, we can know joy in the midst of sadness and struggles and suffering, is that we can ask God to give us wisdom. As I have come to expect from James, who is always in our face, it's just pretty straight up with him, not a lot of fluff. In chapter 4, when he was talking about prayer, he said, "Listen to me, you have not because you ask not." And that's James. You have not because you do not ask. Then in chapter 5, 7 times in our verses this morning, he references prayer or praying. There's no way that James or I could exaggerate the importance or the significance of prayer in the life of the believer. In fact, prayer is the mark of genuine faith in the life of a believer. And all of us can get a lot better at prayer. The church can get a lot better at prayer. And it's the call of Christ to pray always, to never give. A British preacher from the 1800s named Martin Tupper said this about prayer. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the omnipotence of God. Don't you love that? Prayer is the means by which the mighty muscles of the Almighty are moved to action. It is prayer that we link It is in prayer that we link our nothingness and our neediness to His almightiness, the great I Am. And so we pray. We pray every day and in every way. James recognizes that there are times that require extraordinary prayer. Again, we're to pray every day. It should be as normal as breathing for the believer. We pray about everything the scripture says, and we pray at all times. That's normal Christian living. But there are times when extraordinary prayer is needed, an exceptional situation that requires something extra, when we need God to touch us and even to heal us. Now, if you ask me, do you believe in divine healing? My response would be is that there is no other kind. Whether it is by medicine or by miracle, whether it is natural healing as the body heals itself, or if it is supernatural healing when God moves in and performs a miracle, it doesn't matter the means, whether it is medicine or miracle. We know that God heals. God can do things that medicine cannot. Perhaps we know someone that has a diagnosis that is very serious, very critical. The doctors have said, there's just not a lot that we can do. When the doctors say there's not a lot to do, then there's not a lot we can do, there's still a God that can do a lot. Jesus is the great physician, the Lord our God that we sing about, the great I Am. One of his names, Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals you. So yes, absolutely, God heals. This message is about healing prayer, and I want to remind you that not all healing is in regard to physical healing. The healing of the body is important, but we are made up of mind, body, and spirit. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are body, we are soul, we are spirit. So the soul can get a disease. The spirit can get sick as well as the body. What James is showing us here, ever the practical teacher, is what to do when we suffer, when we get sick. First of all, what do you do when you suffer? You pray for those who suffer. If we look at verse 13 again, is anyone among you suffering? Now, it's not a question as to whether or not you will suffer. Fact of life, no one, Christian or non-Christian, is immune. No one gets a pass on suffering. None of God's boys or girls are in a bubble. We are prone to illness and sickness because we live in a decaying and dying world. And we do get sick, and yes, we suffer. The word here is actually the word afflicted, or stressed, or distressed. It's a word which means, when it says suffering, the suffering of all kinds. Whether it is emotional pain, psychological pain, physical pain, family issues, financial problems, when you're just overwhelmed. This verse here, if anyone is suffering, it means you show up for the day and something happens and it's bad, whatever that is that causes us to suffer. Jesus said, in this world, as long as you live, there will be trouble. James, as I said earlier in chapter 1, said when you fall into various trials and tests in your life, not if and or, but you will. You know, if you think about it, we are always in one of three places. You are either going into a trial right now, you are in the middle of a trial right now, or you're coming out of a trial right now. All of us face trials in our lives. Psalm 34, verse 19, I'm going to go King James on you here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now the Lord delivers, but that isn't the same as prevents or wipes away. There are still afflictions and problems and pressures of all kinds. Yes, there are physical problems. There are also psychological problems that we face, and you're not exempt. You may find yourself under emotional pressure or pain. There's also spiritual struggles and suffering, fear, anxiety, depression. And there are toxic emotions that can attack the mind and the body, like jealousy and envy and bitterness. These emotions act like an acid that destroys its own container. You know, the body, the mind, or the soul, and the spirit are so interrelated and interconnected that someone once said that they catch each other's diseases. There's a powerful connection God created in us between the mind, the body, and the spirit. So suffering can come as a result of spiritual struggles. Some are suffering because of a direct assault. Paul experienced that. The great apostle, he was not immune from it at all. Our old friend Job, he was attacked by Satan. He never saw it coming. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, probably a physical illness, and he was suffering. And he said it was like a thorn. One translation says a stake. Can you imagine a stake in your heart or a stake in your life? He said it was a messenger of Satan that came to buffet him. What some call mental illness can be spiritual bondage. Now, there is such a thing as mental illness and should be treated as a mental illness. But the enemy attacks, and it can be a spiritual bondage. The Apostle Paul mentioned he suffered for the sake of the gospel because he was committed to carrying the cross, wearing and bearing the cross. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up my cross and follow after me. And if we bear that cross, if we carry it, how would we not expect to face opposition in a world that doesn't love Christ? Don't be surprised if you're determined to carry the cross and follow Jesus that you will face some heat. You'll face persecution. In fact, Paul said in 1 Timothy, all who live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Honestly, for us here in Pantego, Texas, most of us know nothing about physical persecution, while there are many believers around the world who are dying for their faith. Here in America, we have more freedom. But when you live for Jesus in your schools, for some even in your family or among your friends, if you stand for Christ and bear the cross, you will face opposition and some resistance. Don't be surprised at that. In fact, Jesus told us in the Beatitudes, if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, then rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You may be suffering. You could suffer in some way because of your faith. So what do you do? What does James do? James is just in your face. He says, pray. That's it. Now, that's not the natural thing to do when we hurt, when we suffer, when we're in pain. What do? Well, we cry a lot when we're hurt. But beyond that, sometimes we're discouraged and even defeated in our faith. Some despair and give up hope. That's what the world does. That's the natural thing to do. But the supernatural thing to do is to pray, to call on the name of the Lord our God, the great I am. Pray and ask God to help us, to sustain us, to deliver us. And when you pray, when you suffer and when you pray, it doesn't mean that in the next 15 minutes you're going to no longer suffer. You can't say, well, I prayed, I was hurting, I was suffering, but I prayed. That didn't do any good. I was suffering when it was done. You're thinking, okay, I pray this magic formula, magic potion. Well, it doesn't work that way. In his own way and in his own time, God will bring about healing. Genuine faith praises even when you don't feel like it. Prayer is not the last, it is the first choice of the believer. We do what is not natural. We call upon the name of the Lord. An old hymn writer wrote, have we trials and temptations? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We can find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you suffer and expect to suffer in your life, pray and don't quit. James says, if we look again at verse 13, let him pray, and if anyone is cheerful, I hope we have some cheerful believers here today. Let them sing praises, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. The psalmist in Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Life is a series of wins and losses, ups and downs, sunshine and rain, good days and bad days. But the fact is, most of us, but maybe not all of us, have a whole lot more good days than we do bad days. And the problem for some of us is that on those good days, we forget to give credit to God and to glorify God by singing and praising our God. James is telling us here, when you suffer, when there's adversity, pray. when there's prosperity and pleasure, sing to the Lord, literally songs of praise. Maybe you say, well, I don't always feel like singing. The Bible says he gives songs in the night, and when the wind blows, that's the time to sing. Does anybody here have wind chimes? Typically, of course, when the wind isn't blowing, you hear nothing. But if the wind stirs up and it starts blowing and then they start to make music, they tingle and chime all over the place. Now, when the wind blows into our lives, there should be music coming out if we're believers. But when the wind isn't blowing, there should still be songs of praise. I'll tell you this, suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional. Suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional. Paul said he knew a lot about suffering. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, that he was in sorrow, yet rejoicing in sorrow, rejoicing. In other words, even when you're sad, there's happiness in knowing the Lord. If we look at verse 15 in James, or actually the end of verse 14, when we anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So much to talk about in that passage in so little time. The big question, the huge question mark that may be in your mind right now is, what about the cure? Does God always promise? Is that what God is saying here? That God promises that when you pray like this, a prayer of faith and anoint it with oil, that if you have enough faith, you will always be healed. Absolutely not. Obviously not. Because we all know people for whom we have prayed and prayed fervently, long and hard, anointed with oil, and in the name of Jesus asked God to heal them. We all know people who are now in heaven who didn't make it. They weren't healed. Or maybe they went on to be chronically ill. So what's the answer? We know God doesn't choose to heal everyone. Jesus himself didn't choose to heal everyone. He didn't heal everyone in every place. Paul admitted this, that there was a man that he prayed for and he left sick in Timothy 4:20. He said, I left this man sick. Why didn't Paul heal him? Why didn't he pray for him? I mean, if the prayers of Paul the apostle don't work, what's up with that? He said, I left him sick. No, it's not God's will always that you be healed. The apostle Paul, I've already talked about this, his thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times to God to deliver him. Again and again and again, he prayed, God, deliver me from this stabbing pain. God, deliver me from this terrible, crushing thorn in my flesh. It was probably some kind of physical issue. But God didn't heal Paul. We assume he took this pain to his death. He learned the lesson that in the thorn and the pain and the struggle of the sickness, that it was in his weakness that he was made strong. In fact, the word here for sick means weak, like can't stand up, weak. And after Paul learned the lesson, he said, you know, I was so full of pride. Paul knew he was smarter than everybody. He was trained. He was powerful. He was a missionary of all missionaries. He said, I struggled with pride, but God used this thorn in my flesh to keep me humble and dependent on the Lord. And he got to the place in his life where he said, you know what? I think I'll keep the thorn. I think I'll just keep the thorn because God is using it for his glory. And my good God may choose to heal. God may choose not to heal. The key thing here is acceptance. Pray in the name of the Lord. I'll end with this thought. You know what it is to pray in the name of the Lord? It means to pray in or with the approval and the authority of God's name. It's not just something we do. It's not a little incantation at the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying in his authority, the right that you have to pray, because he gives you the authority to come boldly before God's throne. It also means approval, saying if you sign your name to something, that's your approval. You're signing a check. That's the approval to take it out of your bank account. You sign a legal paper, that is your approval. That's authority. So not just when we pray, church, but the way we live and all that we do, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to sign the name of Jesus to everything you do in your life as a Christian. So when you sign on the name of Jesus, it's tantamount to praying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You say that's a cop-out, Jeremy. No, it isn't. It's not a cop-out, it's a reality. That God is God, and I'm not, and neither are you. That God is sovereign over my days and your days. The Apostle Paul got to that point. In fact, he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said that Christ would be magnified in my body, in life or in death. So when we pray for the sick, and we are sick, and we prayed for, it is always with this truth, with this trust, that God knows what is best. And there comes a time when we're going to take our last breath of air and immediately be in the presence of Christ. That's not a bad thing. It's a really good thing. God gives us time. God gives us years. We live them for the glory of God. But whether we live or whether we die, whether we get well or whether we don't, there's the acceptance and the trust that when we pray with conviction and compassion, that God will answer in his own way, in his own will, and his own time. Trust in him. Join me as we sing one more prayer, and I'll close us down with a thought. You guys can have a seat. I won't be long, but I want to make you stand. So I think that probably over the last 2 years, you know, going through this pandemic, we probably have all been faced with this more than we normally would, right? We know more people that are in, are afflicted and suffering. And, you know, I think it begs the question of why. And so I think that, you know, when we talk about trusting in you and understanding that his ways are not mine, but, you know, prayer is a conversation. And so, a couple months ago, Jennifer's best friend got COVID and went to the hospital, went to ICU, was intubated. It was about 13 days from the time that she got it to the time she died. And I was talking to Jennifer, and I wanted to say like the, oh, well, you know, God has a plan or something like that. She shut me right down. She's like, don't tell me that. God and I are going to have a conversation. She wasn't happy. And it's okay, because prayer is just conversation. So, I am so, don't be afraid to have the hard conversations, because he knows. You guys have a great week.